Last week we introduced a new series, The Five Greatest Revelations I Have Received from God Since Becoming a Christian. Now, one of my good friends and regular listeners on the internet and a regular contributor to the church reminded me that Andrew Womack is teaching a series about the 20 greatest revelations he's received. But I swear it's coincidental. I was simply in the bed one morning, and the Lord talked to me about doing this, and I'm kind of doing it in conjunction with celebrating 27 years of ministry. So maybe subconsciously I heard that, but I think this is my own new material, okay? So the five greatest revelations I have received from God since becoming a Christian. Last week we talked about, and we're going to do a little review now. I'm going to make sure you all heard a few things. What's the first, and by the way, I'm doing this in order. A lot of these revelations came before I started the church, and some of the revelations came when we became a church, and so some of the revelation got added too when I started the church. But the first revelation I got was, I got epistle lighted. Now, man, how many of you like it when somebody asks the question and you know the answer? Who can tell me what part of the Bible makes up the epistles? Who can tell me what part of the Bible makes up the epistles? If you're pretty sure of the answer, raise your hand. So let's start right here. What books make up the epistles? Amen. The books of Romans through Jude. Now, last week we put up a scripture about rightly dividing the word of truth. We believe, I want to make sure everybody hears this clearly, we believe that the Holy Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is the Word of God. It's the only infallible, inspired Word of the living God. And we believe every part of it belongs where it is, but we also believe that it's progressive revelation. And that if you don't understand, you'll never understand what the back of the book means until you understand what we learned in the epistles, Romans through Jude. Can I get an amen? So I was a brand new Christian, never had read my Bible, and God led me over to those books and gave me great revelation. And so that was the very first thing that happened to me, is I became epistle lighted. And I'm recommending to everybody that reads their Bible on a regular, consistent basis, I'm recommending that the pages in your Bible that are worn out should be the Romans through Jude books. Because that tells you who you are in Christ. Who are you in Christ? More than a conqueror. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No weapon, that's an Old Testament. You've got to be careful. Which is still a verse that's inspired by God. I don't misunderstand that. But you see where I'm going? So I got into the epistles, and I began to learn these great truths, and I didn't have any other background in any kind of biblical theology, and so I just believed everything I read. When it told me I was a new creature in Christ Jesus, guess what? I believed it. When it told me I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me, I believed it. When it told me that because of God's great love for me, He sent Jesus to be the propitiation for my sins and the sins of the whole world, I believed it. And I'm telling you, if you're going to be somebody that the devil's afraid of, you got to get epistle lighted. There's some good places for an amen. And look, let me do this for free of charge. How many of you brought your Bible? You don't have to in our format, but I'm going to do this free of charge. I knew I'd get bogged down. I'm going to open my Bible to the book of Romans, and then I'm going to go all the way to Jude. Boy, I'd really test y'all if y'all told me all the books. Amen. Also, I'd lose everybody. I'm not going to that church. He gives tests. Amen. That's not my church. All right, let me show you. Let me just show you. All right, Jude. The epistles make up this much of the Bible. Now, I know that generally speaking, most Christians don't consistently read their Bible. It's hard to read. It's hard to understand if you don't know how to divide it. But if you get over here in this part of the Bible, it'll explain to you everything you need to know about the Old and New Testament. Amen. Now, is that a lot? Is that a whole lot? How many of us ever had to read War and Peace? You did read War and Peace? Why, in high school or something? Man, I don't want to go to that high school. This is what makes up the epistles, Romans through Jude. Again, should you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Did I tell you, what's the first book I told you that every new Christian should start out reading? The Gospel of John. Why? It tells you who Jesus Christ is. He was God manifested in the flesh. So I tell everybody, start with the Gospel of John, then go through Acts and go to Jude, and then go over and read the Old Covenant, understanding in light of the New Covenant. Does that make sense? Because this right here is the New Covenant. One other thing, the Bible, the Old Testament, really should have ended at the Gospel of John. When Jesus said, "It is finished," he meant everything in the law and the prophets had been fulfilled by him, and we are no longer bound by the law of sin and death. We are set free by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. Can I get a double amen? Amen? All right, now I can't make that any more plain. Amen, brother. So in reading the epistles, I got another revelation. And again, I'm giving you what I believe are the most prominent revelations I've received. The second revelation I received from God is God isn't doing bad things to people. Amen. Say that out loud with me, everybody. God isn't doing bad things to people. Do you want to know what's fascinating about that? That made people dislike me tremendously. And I didn't handle it that great, did I, Maria? But I'm doing a lot better at it, aren't I? Doing a lot better. I thought everybody would be jumping for joy to find out that there was a Bible teacher in Sierra Vista telling you that God was good. The devil's bad. God is good. But God isn't doing bad things to people. So the very first place in the Bible where God spoke this to me is in 2 Corinthians. I was reading this passage of Scripture as I was reading the epistles. I did about a six-month in-depth study of the Bible when I first got born again. And I got to this verse, and it says, that is, that God was in Christ. God was in Christ. Now, some people may doubt whether God's in me. If you've ever seen me on the golf course, you might doubt it. Am I right? Huh? If you saw me the way I acted when the Diamondbacks choked the World Series, I didn't do too bad because I was just happy they got to the World Series because that was a miracle with that team. But anybody with any kind of intelligence and anybody that's ever read the Gospels knows that God was in Christ. So what was he doing? What was he doing? That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Listen to me. Y'all know the Christmas story. Glory to God in the highest. The angel said it. Anybody ever watch the old Charlie Brown special? Secular TV took it off. They won't let you watch it now. They put on something, you know, Santa Claus is coming to town, or Frosty the Snowman, or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. But anyway, I always think about Charlie Brown, but in Luke, the angels appear to the shepherds, not to the religious people, not to the Pharisees, not to the hierarchy in the Jewish religion. He appears to the shepherds and he says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, listen, goodwill towards man. Not goodwill between man and man, because throughout all of history, there's always been wars. There's always been people that hate people. And Jesus Christ himself said, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Mother would be against a brother, and brother would be against sister. So it wasn't talking about that Jesus came to bring peace on earth. He came to bring peace between God and man. God is not mad at you. I don't care if you sinned yesterday. I don't care if you sin today. And again, am I wanting any of us to sin? Do we have to say that? No. But it's not going to change how God feels about you, because through Jesus Christ, He's reconciled all of us to Himself. But in order for you to maintain the benefit of that reconciliation, you have to receive Him. So if you don't receive Him, you're still under the law of sin and death. You're still under the spiritual principle of sowing and reaping. And so people's not getting away with anything just because God's at peace with us. But if we realize as Christians that God's not mad at us, we won't be burdened down with guilt, and we'll enter the throne of grace with boldness that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Can I get an amen? Amen. So I'm reading this. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing. How many of you love that word imputing? Oh, that's an accounting word. I love it. Imputing means you, when you got a ledger, I think you do some bookkeeping for your dad, don't you, young lady? Don't you do a little bookkeeping for your dad? Huh? Not accounting wise. But anyway, when you're imputing in accounting, you're recording transactions. So the Amplified Translation and some other translations, I think, give you a better word. Not holding against. See, that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not holding against them their trespasses. Or not imputing their trespasses. Think about that. He's not recording in the book anymore your transgressions. If you're a Christian, He's not recording in His book anymore your transgressions. If you're not a Christian, there's a book up there, and in that book, it's going to tell you all your transgressions. And if I was still in that book, they'd be reading that book forever. Does that make sense to everybody? He's not holding our trespasses against us and has committed to us the word of what? The word of what? Man, it's not the word of wrath. It's not the word of judgment. It's not the word of condemnation. It's good news. God loves us. You can't do anything about it. He is love, and He's given His love to us by His grace, not by our works. So verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. See, here's the balance on this. There's always balance here. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through who? I'm going to get to that next week with my next revelation. That's going to be part of my next revelation. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So as far as God's concerned, He's got reconciliation presented to all men, and all men have to do is receive that reconciliation. And as a Christian, if you've received that reconciliation, it's the hardest thing in the world to overcome. I've been doing this. I've been a Christian since 1978. Backslid for 5 years, so do the math, whatever that is. But it's the hardest thing in the world not to have guilt when you go towards God. It is the hardest thing in the world. Always thinking about, well, see, because the devil's the accuser of the brethren. But I'm telling you, we should go boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, because God no longer sees us as carnal, natural people. He sees us through the lens of Christ. He sees us as spotless and blameless and innocent. Isn't that amazing? How many of you hear that all the time? That's the gospel. That's truly the gospel. So I read that verse, those two verses, and God spoke into my heart. Again, these are my revelations that I got from God. I read those verses, and God spoke to my heart and said, son, I'm not doing bad things to people. And I thought, wow, wow. Now, let me say something about revelation. Revelation knowledge is the greatest thing anybody can get when God speaks to you. And I believe in order to maintain a positive, successful ministry, you have to have a revelation that you know you've received from God. Because I have taken, and again, I'm not looking for any sympathy. I'm just simply telling the truth. And I shouldn't say I, because we've got some regular attenders here. And so I shouldn't just say I. If you've connected to this church, you've had to deal with some persecution and some tribulation. I think sometimes you run into people at the grocery store and they say, "You're not still going there, are you? You're not hanging out there, are you?" And exactly why would they be mad? Because I'm telling them that God is good. You know why they would get mad about that? Listen to me. Here we go. Here it is. Ready? If God is not doing bad things to me, then why are bad things happening? And every single one of us in this room have had bad things happen to us. If you raise your hand and you say you haven't, we're going to call an altar call and pray for liars. Bad things have happened to all of us. So here I am coming along and telling people these bad things were not caused by God. He doesn't have bad things to give. Jesus said, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So if God's not doing the bad things, then I have to examine my heart and determine why are bad things happening. Well, listen, several reasons. The number one reason is the fact that there's a rotten, stinking, murdering devil in the world, and he is the God of this world. I'm going to get to that in my next revelation, but he's the God of this world. So everything ultimately evil can be traced back to the devil. All the catastrophe and the pain and the suffering and the slaughter that Israel's going through, that's all the devil. It's all the devil. You know why? You know who he hates the most? He hates everybody. So listen, you hear these people and they say we want to kill all Jews. You know, Hitler said he wanted to kill all Jews, and then he decided he wanted to kill all Catholics. And then he decided he wanted to kill everybody that wasn't part of his race. So really, ultimately, what they want to do is kill everybody. And I'm going to put a verse of scripture to back that up. Are you with me? So it basically has its roots in the devil, but also bad things can happen to you just because you live in a world that's fallen. How many of you stay in the Spirit 24 hours a day? Again, if you raise your hand, there's going to be another altar call. We're going to have dual altar calls. How many of you stay in the Spirit 24/7? That's why you need to always be ready to go. That's why in this church and this Bible teacher, I've always recommended health insurance and life insurance. You know why? Because you're not in the Spirit 24/7 and accidents happen. I've lost two nieces to car accidents. God didn't want them to die in a car accident, not for one moment, but they died in a car accident. Was it their fault? Not necessarily, but it was because they lived in a fallen world and they probably did some things incorrectly relative to when they were driving. How many of you ever looked down on you while you were driving and you looked down at your phone? I got two husbands and wives pointing at each other. Hey, when the cell phones first came out and texting first came out, boy, I caught myself doing that. I was trying to text and drive, and the next thing I knew, I was headed to the side of the road, and I said, "No more. I'm smart enough now. No more." You with me? So it could be that. It's primarily the devil. It's just living in a natural world that's fallen. And the second thing is, it could be some other person doing it to you or causing it to happen for you. But all that stuff, if you're in Christ, is under the blood of Jesus. And so don't let the devil bind you up and talk you into thinking that you're this way because somebody made you that way. No, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. 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 If anybody be in Christ, he's a new creature. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. And he that dwells in me will give life to my mortal body. You listening to me? So I got that revelation and I'm like, wow, you're not doing bad things to people. And so I was raised a Roman Catholic, and thank God I got a good education at St. Augustine Grade School. I got my hands slapped a couple of times by them. They'd make you put your hand on the desk and they'd slap it. Tell you one thing, it made you pay attention. I mean, when I never forgot to tell this story before, but I remember, and I mean, it's amazing how you remember certain things. Sister Ignatius was our second grade teacher, and I don't know what this boy did. He was a good guy, one of my best friends, named Joe Abel. And anyway, whatever he did, it made her mad, and she got him by the neck and threw him in that broom closet and locked the door. You know what? For the rest of the day. Now, she did let him out, I think. I don't remember exactly. But I'm going to tell you what, for the rest of the day, there wasn't one person in there that misbehaved. Amen? So then I came over amongst the Protestant church. And I thought, man, I'm going to get over amongst the Protestants, and they read their Bible, and they know Jesus, and I'm going to go in there, and they're going to be talking the same thing that I've got, that God's not doing bad things to people. Guess what? Guess what? That's not what they were saying. They were saying that, you know, oh, no, God put sickness on you because he's trying to teach you something, you know, or there's sin in your life, and so this is God's way of correcting you, or everything happens for a reason. Well, of course everything happens for a reason. There's a reason everything happens. But the reason everything happens is not God. It could be, but most of the time it's us. Right? Can I blame anybody but me for shooting a 96 at the golf course yesterday? Was anybody else holding that golf club? Did anybody putt for me? Who did all that? Who made that 96? I did. You know what human nature does? Do you know what the first thing that Adam said? God realized they had sinned. Oh, and God was so heartbroken about it. He was searching for Adam. He asked a rhetorical question. He said, Adam, where are you? Where are you? And they hid under a bush. They hid from God. That's what we've been doing all since all of creation. If you don't know God, you hide from him. Are you listening to me? And so finally, he says, Adam, where are you? Have you eaten of that tree that I told you not to? And you know what Adam said? Yes, I did. My gosh, can I get forgiveness? Is there any way in the world you can make it right? Nothing's impossible for you. You gave me all this creation. You gave me all this wonderful, perfect stuff. I'm so sorry. What can we do to make it right? Is that what he said to God? No, he said, that woman. Oh, we like to blame the women, don't we? That woman that you gave. So who'd he blame? The woman and God. I wanted to blame somebody but me. I wanted to blame the wind, right? But I can't. So really what this comes down to is when you realize God's not doing bad things to people, it comes down to us having to take some personal responsibility for some things in our lives. Amen. And does that mean that God won't help us? No. Does that mean that God is going to be mad at us? No. That means you go to the throne of grace where you obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Man, I was excited about knowing that. And this is my revelation. Anybody that's been coming to this church regularly, I don't mean I'm the only one that's got this revelation. There are people out there telling God's not doing bad things to you. But this is a personal revelation I've got. And any of y'all that's been hanging out here for any length of time, Frankie was in the very first church service on the little house. Everybody will testify that every time I preach, sooner or later, I come back to telling people God's not doing bad things to you. And it still makes people mad. Amen? Now, some people, it sets free. Sets some people free. And it should set you free. So I realized God's not doing bad things to me. So I went through some other scriptures. And, of course, because God confirms everything by at least two or three verses of scripture. So the next verse of scripture is 1 John 1:5. I will guarantee you, Mr. Bryant Booker, Donnie Federico, Gary Cheeks, Francis and Jerry, anybody been here any length of time, I guarantee you this is at least one of my top 10 verses of scripture. Can I get an amen on that? Have I put that up all the time? All right. Now let me tell you. So I get over to 1 John. I've already got the revelation. I'm not doing bad things to people. Really, you ought to read 1 John all the way down to verse 5, but we don't have time. But this is what he says. This is John the Apostle, the one that was in the bosom of Jesus at the Last Supper. Amen. The beloved apostle, the writer of the book of Revelation. This is what he said. This is the message which we have heard from him. Who's him? Jesus. Jesus was God in the flesh. Jesus was the perfect will of God in the flesh. He said, I always do what pleases my Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm only doing the works that the Lord's telling me to do. And what was the message they heard from Jesus about God? Wouldn't that matter? Does it really matter what I tell you? I mean, I'm talking about on a human level. Does it really matter? But does it matter what God tells you about God? To me, that makes sense. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light. Listen to me. And in him is no darkness at all. Oh, all that did was reinforce what he told me before. I said, wait a minute. Darkness doesn't come from you. Light comes from you. Jesus didn't tell people that God made them sick. Jesus didn't tell people that God made them poor. Jesus didn't tell people that they were tormented by evil spirits because God wanted it that way. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. I never will forget this verse of scripture. So this has been one of my top 10 verses. Quality people were coming to our church pretty consistently for a couple of years. In fact, he was the assistant golf pro at PDS, but I wasn't really a member at that time. And his wife had a high-powered job somewhere and had retired, and they came to live out here. Anyway, I never will forget something. She called me on the phone one day. So, you know, I put this verse up a bunch, right? She called me on the phone one day, and she said, I finally get it. And I said, what? She said, I finally get it. God's not doing bad things. And I said, hallelujah, will you testify? Can I get you to come up and testify? But they transferred and went to Texas or something. Everybody that gets a revelation, most of them go somewhere else. See, I could be like some preachers and say, oh, thus saith God. Oh, thus saith God, you are not to ever leave Sierra Vista. You're to stay under the tutelage of Mark Browning. No, you're to stay under the tutelage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God told Joshua, wherever you go, you'll prosper. Wherever you go, you'll prosper. But see, here's my point I wanted to make on that. I wonder how many times she had to hear that verse. I wonder how many times she had to hear that verse before it registered on her and the Holy Spirit was able to speak to her and say, there's no darkness in me. Say that with me, everybody. I'll say it like this. There is no darkness in God. Ready? There is no darkness in God. All right, next verse. Y'all got so excited over that one. Now, this one here is just fascinating to me because it violates about every way other people talk about God. It's a violation. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. Y'all follow me? Now watch this. I want you to see the theme of this. For God, listen to this now. For God cannot be tempted by... That's your cue there. Okay. Right up here, Chris. For God cannot be tempted by
evil.
Well, I won't take the time, but I'll show you in the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I can show you that Jesus identified sickness as evil and health as good. So that's one thing you can eliminate, thinking that God's doing, making people sick. That's evil. You with me? Now, the reason why this is so important is because you'll hear people say this phrase all the time. Oh, and I've said it sometimes myself. I just don't know why God's putting me through this. Don't raise your hand. Just bow your head. Bow your head. You know what? That's an exact violation of this verse. He's not putting you through it. If it's evil, he's not putting you through it. Now, listen, here's what other people don't understand. I want to make sure we make this plain. If something bad happens to you, can God use that bad thing to get you closer to him? Absolutely. But he didn't do the bad thing. I'm probably a Christian today because of a bad thing that happened in our family that caused us to go seeking God. If everything remained the status quo, I'd probably still be doing what I was doing. But something bad happened in our family, and several members of our family got acquainted with the gospel, and they got it to me. You with me? But God didn't want any of that stuff to happen. There's no evil. He can't be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Say that. I just wonder how many people read the Bible. When you hear them talk, I wonder how many people read the Bible. I just don't know why God got me doing this, got me going through this. Is it evil? Well, he don't have you going through it. Will he help you out of it? Absolutely. What's the best way to start to get help? Admit he's not doing it. Because if you think he's doing it, again, I can't get everything taught in 50 minutes, but if you think he's doing it, you won't use the shield of faith that God's given us as part of the armor of God. If you think he's doing it, you won't use the shield of faith to put an end to it because you think it's all part of some cosmic plan God has for you. And that has literally robbed the church, the general mainstream church, of power. It has, absolutely has. Are you listening to me? Next verse. I don't know if y'all are listening real good or you're just tired because it's about 8:45, but I hope you're getting this. I read that this morning. I want to start at verse 16 of this of James. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Why don't we just say that?
Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren.
The next thing he's going to tell us is what he doesn't want us to be deceived about. Am I right? Am I reading that right? So the next thing he's going to say to us is, this is what I don't want you to be deceived about. What is it? Verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God was good yesterday, God's good today, and God's going to be good tomorrow.
Amen.
You know why? Because that's who he is. That's what he is. That's his nature. That's his character. That's our creator. And the rotten devil has hid that truth from us, and I'm no different than you. I'm no different than you. I have to press through sometimes and remind myself of these things. And you know, it seems like sometimes like the heavens all closed up, but it's only because we don't understand that we can come to God just as we are, without one plea, the great Billy Graham, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for thee. Amen. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Here it is. The thief. Now, first of all, could God possibly be the thief? Because let me ask you a question. If you steal from somebody else, is that good or evil? So God can't possibly be a thief. So really, if you think about it, if your health is not what good, if your emotions aren't good, if your finances aren't good, something's being stolen from you. Now again, you got to understand, you got to examine your heart and determine, why am I sick, or why are my emotions in shambles, or why am I poor? And some of the answers might be because you're not working. Got a humorous story to tell. I want to finish this first. I'm going down to the golf course in my golf cart. To get to the golf course, you got to cross Buffalo Soldier. So invariably, I always get a red light. And of course, you know, I don't know why I always get a red light. But I get a red light, and when I get a red light, this young man pulls up in a bicycle with a bicycle helmet on. And I can't, I don't know, the older you get, you can't tell how old people are, right? Except for you, Frank. I've got you down. But he pulls up to me in his bicycle, and so I thought, you know, I'll make a little, I said, hey, guy, what's going on? I said, you're not in school today? He said, I thought he was school age. I said, hey, dude, you're not in school today? I didn't say dude. I said, hey, you're not in school today? He said, dude, I'm 22 years old. Now, wait a minute. I want you to see the humor in there. 22 years old. I said, well, what are you doing? He said, whatever I want. I'm unemployed. Now, that's an indictment. You see this boy over here? I'm going to brag on him. He's 21. I know he don't want me to brag, but he's 21. And he goes and works 8 hours a day packing boxes at the UPS store. Did you know whatever 21 or 22-year-old kid should be doing? Something. Don't tell me you can't find something to do. You probably could find work for him. But you know what was fascinating? He didn't get mad or anything. He said, hey, have a good day. And I said, well, yeah, keep riding your bike. And that's part of the generation that thinks the government's going to bail them out of everything. Don't shout me down. Okay, all right, real quick. The thief, so that's the devil. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Can't make it any plainer. I have come. Why'd you come? Why'd you come, Jesus? Did you come to condemn us, hurt us? I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The Son of Man did not come to destroy. The Son of Man came to save. That's when James and John wanted him to call fire down from heaven on the Samaritans. Sounds like stuff going on today, don't it? And Jesus said, you know what manner you're talking about. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Can I get an amen? Is God good? Is his mercy everlasting? And does his truth endure to all generations? Maria Butterfield sent me a wonderful song that we're going to play as we come up and receive communion. Put the 100th psalm up. The 100th psalm. It's about 5 verses, so y'all can handle it. I want to say this before we receive communion. I'm going to say it. Ready? Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Why? Why? For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Hallelujah. All right, let's come up and receive elements. On the night he was betrayed, think about that for a minute. On the night he was betrayed, just think about that. The creator of the universe got betrayed. John says he was in the world and the world was made by him, but the world didn't know him. So he brought his dart gun and fired it at everybody. No, he came to his own and his own didn't receive him. But as many as did receive him, see, he didn't turn back. He didn't leave us. But as many as did receive him, he gave them the right to become a child of God. So this bread represents his body that was broken for us. Those stripes that he endured were endured. He did that for us. He had no sin. He was righteous and holy and perfect. But he bore those stripes so that by those stripes we could be healed. So hold it up and say, Lord, I'm receiving this bread as the body of Christ. And by faith, I declare that I'm healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet and everything inside of me. In Jesus' name. Now, the next revelation that I want to talk to you about is going to have a lot to do with this grape juice that represents the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is the only blood in the history of all mankind that could cleanse us from all sin. And that's because it was the blood of the divine creator of the universe. And it'll pay for the sins of anybody's past, anybody's present, and anybody's future. So hold the cup up and say, Father, I receive the cup, and I acknowledge that the blood of Jesus has cleansed me from all sin. I can boldly come to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, because I've discovered that you're good and your mercy is everlasting. We ought to snap a picture of this side of the church and advertise that next week. You better come get a seat. We're running out of seats. Amen. I can't get this group. They've gotten all religious on me. That's their pew. Anyway, listen, if you've been listening by radio or internet, I know we got quite a few followers that are listening on the internet. Our website is lifeinchristchurch.net. You can follow us on Facebook through the Life in Christ Ministry page. And then you can listen to us on the radio, provided they play the right programs. We need to pray for the radio station. Amen. And ask for mercy in Jesus' name. But if you've been listening by radio or internet, we don't want to quit this service without giving you an opportunity to receive Jesus. I already said the verse, but I'll say it again. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those, listen, to those who believe in his name. God's not mad at you. He's reconciled himself to you, but you have to reach out and receive that reconciliation by faith. So say this with me. Say, Dear God, I realize that you're not mad at me, that you're not holding my sins against me. But through Jesus Christ, I've been reconciled to my Creator. So by faith, I declare that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is God, that he died for me, that he rose again for my justification, and I receive him now into my life in Jesus' name. If you prayed that and you meant that, you are now Christian. You are now Christian. Read the Gospel of John and then get over to the books of Romans through Jude and then read the whole thing. Amen. You'll never regret it. Get acclimated to Bible-believing people, people that encourage you and tell you how good God is. Amen. Lord, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise because it was all because of you. It was nothing we did. We were helpless and hopeless. You didn't ignore us. You didn't turn your back on us. Your great love caused you to send Jesus for us. And so we give you all the praise and honor in the holy and mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.